Welcome to Yudcast, episode 38. This is Head of School Dan Glass with you, once again recording live in the Sound Lab here at the Brandeis School of San Francisco. Hope you're all doing great. Wanted to start this week thinking about our friends and loved ones in the Caribbean who are currently being impacted by Hurricane Irma. And because poetry is an entry point for us, as it is every week in the Yudcast, I thought I'd start with an Aimé Césaire poem. He's the great poet from Martinique, 20th century poet, founder of a movement in poetry known as Negritude that was about sort of attention to native rhythms and forms. This is a poem of his called Spirals, and in seeing the satellite images of this hurricane that's battering the region, I was thinking of spirals and thought of this poem. We ascend, braids of gallows, birds from the Caña Fistulas. The executioner must have forgotten the last grooming. We ascend, beautiful hands hanging from ferns and waving farewells that no one hears. We ascend. The balisiers are breaking their hearts on the precise moment when the phoenix is reborn from its highest consuming flame. We ascend. We descend. The seracopias hide their faces and their dreams in the skeletons of their phosphorescent hands. The circles of the funnel now close faster and faster. It is the end of hell. We crawl, we float, we coil the chasms of the earth, the resentments of men, the rancor of races tighter and tighter, and the abyssal undertows carry us back in a tangle of lianas, of stars, and of shudders. That last word is shudders, like I shudder to think, although it's easy to hear it in all the preparations that folks are doing down there and in Florida as shutters with a T. Certainly our thoughts and prayers are with everyone. I know a lot of folks here in the Brandeis community have family, have friends throughout those areas, and we are thinking of them. So in July, we took a family road trip up to Oregon to while some sunny days along the Deschutes, the Rogue, and other tributaries and byways. One of our stops was at the Oregon Caves National Monument, a fascinating set of marble passages and caverns just over the Oregon border. This was part of my insistence this summer that our girls learn to share my fascination with caves, which I'm happy to report was a total success. In one room, the tour guide shined his flashlight on the wall, and hundreds of signatures and notes suddenly bloomed from the darkness. Not modern graffiti, but rather the memory book of the early spelunkers who explored the caverns. They would pencil in their names and dates in this room, which in the late 19th century was the farthest one could navigate, using the bare rock as a guessbook. At some point in the 20th century, naturalists and rangers thought the room should be returned to its pristine state, and so came in with erasers, not the big pink ones, I imagine, but who knows. But by then, calcium deposits had dripped down the walls, perfectly preserving each one of those scribbles and loops. Well, on that trip, I brought some of my stack of summer books, including Lewis Glinert's fascinating history, The Story of Hebrew. Glinert, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, I'm just going to assume that I am, is a professor of Hebrew studies at Dartmouth College. And in the book, he traces the origins of the language and tells the tales of how it moved from a spoken language to a written one and back again to a spoken language. He uses metaphors for this process that sound like they came from Jurassic Park, a language encased in amber, the Torah and rabbinic interpretive traditions as a kind of time capsule. These two stories left me thinking a lot this summer about different kinds of time. Geologic, the times of a people and of individual persons, and about what gets preserved or held or passed on. I found myself listening to podcasts as we drove and wondered if anything of these scintillating narratives that sparked our hours in the car would remain 50 or 100 years from now. And of course, because I am a parent, because I am an educator, I wondered about what all of this might mean for our kids. In our tradition, we share stories that go back millennia, and at Brandeis, we get to know deeply timeless characters as well, from Charlotte and Wilbur to Atticus Finch and Scout. But for our young people, growing up in this saturated age, how do we help them learn to separate the wheat from the chaff, the purposeful from the meaningless, or worse, harmful? What of all the writing on our walls is worth reading? What will remain? These feel like timely questions for a few reasons. The first is that we are in a year of articulating the strategic plan for the next chapter of our beloved school, which includes a great deal of thinking about the future and our kids. You'll all hear much more about that process over the course of this year. The second, perhaps more urgent and certainly more visceral reason, is the rapid-fire nature of crises these past weeks. The moment we speak of white supremacist violence in Charlottesville, Houston is already flooding. And our kids are still writing notes to the Houston community while our conversations turn to worries for loved ones in St. Thomas, in Miami, with Irma barreling and battering away at homes and lives. We have not had time to send prayers to one place before another needs our support. We worry for the individuals affected, and we worry about the larger scales of time and our world in the wake of a weekend's heat unlike any I've seen in close to four decades living in the Bay Area. In moments of feeling overwhelmed by the scale of the challenges we face, I often like to remember the title of a great book of dialogues between Paulo Freire and Miles Horton, We Make the Road by Walking. This seems to me a strong echo of Rabbi Tarfon's famous dictum about Tikkun Olam from Pirkei Avot. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to desist from it. And so we teach our children well that ours is a collective responsibility to repair the world. And we are mindful of our good fortune, and we do what we can to help. A donation, a hug to a community member worried for loved ones, a note, a thought, one foot in front of the other, and suddenly new paths, new stories, new possibilities bloom from the darkness. And with that, I wish you all weekends full of safety and stories, my friends. Shabbat shalom to all of you listening on Shabbat, and again, thoughts and prayers to everyone and all the family members and loved ones affected by these storms these weeks. Thanks for listening.